Peter chapter 1. As you can see, we took the pulpit away tonight because we're getting ready for the service next Sunday morning. There's really only one problem with that. It's really not a problem for me, it's a problem for you. There's a clock in that pulpit. I have no clock. That's not a problem for me. It might be for you. I have no idea. I do have a wristwatch. I've told you before, didn't I, the story about the preacher's kid that brought his friend to church? His friend had never been in church before. He had no idea what was going on. So the choir got up to sing, and this friend says to the preacher's kid, he said, what's that mean? He said, well, the choir's just going to sing. The guys came up to take the offering. He said, what's that mean? He said, well, they're just taking up the offering. And then the preacher's kid's father gets up to preach, and he takes his wristwatch off, and he sets it off to the side, and kid says to the preacher's kid, well, what does that mean? And the preacher's kid said, that doesn't mean a thing. So I got a wristwatch here. It doesn't mean a thing. I raised the question tonight, and I have raised it before. What God do you worship? I'm sure most of us sitting here tonight would right away say, well, I worship the God of the Bible. But I ask the question, how do you know the God of the Bible? His Word reveals God. He has revealed Himself in His Word. We need to study His Word to know God. Unfortunately, I'm really afraid that a lot of times we really don't worship the God of the Bible. We worship the God of our own making. We worship the God of our own mind, the God of our own imagination. Because we really haven't studied His Word. We really don't know the God of the Bible. We maybe think we do, but it's really just the God of our own making. The Scripture is clear that God is an infinite God. And obviously, if He's an infinite God, we're not going to fully understand and comprehend Him with our finite minds. And yet, He has revealed Himself in His Word. He has certainly revealed to us that which He wants us to know, and we need to study His Word to know Him. I'm afraid a lot of times what happens is when the God of the Bible acts differently than the God of our mind, we get mad at God. See, we think we've got God all figured out, when in reality, we just have the God of our mind figured out. And when the God of the Bible acts differently than the God of our mind, then we get angry at God. We get mad at Him. He didn't act like we thought He should act, because the God of our mind would have acted this way. But the God of the Bible acted differently. Do we really worship the God of the Bible? We need to study His Word, the revelation of Himself, so that we can know the true God of the Bible and worship Him. And when we talk about knowing God, we certainly are talking about having a personal relationship with Him. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God. Verse 3, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Power for life and godliness through the knowledge of God. So we have grace and peace and power through the knowledge of God. Sometimes life can get rather chaotic. Very little peace. Maybe we don't know God well enough. Sometimes we feel powerless to face life. Maybe we don't know God well enough. For grace and peace and power for life comes through the knowledge of God. And life can get difficult. And life sometimes can get chaotic. But the more we know the God of the Bible, the less chaotic and the less difficult it becomes. We want to talk this evening about knowing God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us this evening for these few minutes together as we would look at your word and as we would study your revelation of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think one of the problems we face when we talk about having a personal relationship with God is we really tend to look at God as a transcendent object rather than a personal being. You know, he's a God out there, and we're not quite sure what God is, and so we just kind of look at him as a transcendent object. And he truly is a transcendent God. By that we mean he's the creator, not the creature. And he is beyond his creation. He is above his creation. He certainly is greater than his creation. He's outside of creation, if you will. He is a transcendent God in that sense, but he is a personal being. I didn't say he's a human being. He's a personal being. He is a person. We were created in the image of God, at least in part. What that means is he is a person and he created us as persons. Part of that is will and intellect and emotion. There's a whole lot more to it than just that. But the point is he is a personal being. And when it comes to a personal relationship with God, we need to understand he's a personal being. We are persons, and we need to relate to him as persons. So what does that mean? Well, let me ask you this. How do you get to know a person? How do you get to know a person? Well, certainly you have to spend some time with them. Certainly, to get to know a person, you're going to talk with them. You're going to listen to them. And really, a lot of times, it helps to get to know a person by spending time with others who do know that person. Now, if that's how you get to know a person, spending time with them, talking with them, listening to them, maybe spending time with others that know that person, if that's how you get to know a person and God is a person, how do you think you get to know God? You need to spend some time with him. You need to talk to him. You need to listen to him. You need to spend time with others who know that person. Why is it easy for us to understand how to get to know another person, but when it comes to knowing God and getting to know God, we seem like we're clueless? We get to know God in much the same way. Spending time with him, talking to him, listening to him, his word, spending time with others that know him, we get to know him as a person. If you spend just a few minutes a week with someone, you're probably not going to get to know them very well. And yet people think they can know God by coming to church once a week or twice a week. They don't spend any time with him or listen to him or talk to him any time during the rest of the week, but they come to church for a few minutes once a week and they think they can get to know God. It's not going to happen that way. To get to know someone really well, you spend time with them daily. You know, I know my wife better than I know anyone else. Why? Because I spend a lot of time with her. You live with them. You talk to them. You listen to them. You get to know them. And so when we come to wanting to know God, we need to relate to him as a person in that sense. And then we talk about knowing someone. Well, what do we mean by that? When you say you know someone, what do you mean? Obviously, if you know someone, you're going to know about them. And I know that sometimes when it comes to knowing God, you've probably heard people say, well, knowing God is more than just knowing about him, it's knowing him. And that's true, that's a good statement. But frankly, we can't skip the part of knowing about him. When you say you know someone, you do know something about them. And yes, it grows from simply knowing about them to knowing them and having a personal relationship with them, but it has to start with knowing about them. When you say you know somebody, you are at least in part saying you know about them. You've spent time with them, and so you've talked with them, you've listened to them, you know about their upbringing. You know when they were born, where they were born. You know some of their personality, if you will. You know how they think. You know what they think. You know how they act, how they react, how they're going to respond to certain circumstances. You know their strengths. You know their weaknesses. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know how they're going to speak when if they get excited or if they're depressed or discouraged. You can sense those things. And as you know about that person, you then can begin to develop a relationship with that person. The same is true with God. We do need to know about God in order to develop a personal relationship with God. We do need to know who God is. We do need to know his attributes, if you will. How he acts. How he responds, what he likes, what he doesn't like, his strengths, his abilities, if you will, his talents. You know, if you know somebody, they're the kinds of things you know about. And if we know God, we're going to know those attributes, his abilities and his strengths. We're going to know what he thinks and how he thinks, at least to the best of our ability with our finite minds. We're going to know about him. And once we know about him, then we can begin to develop a personal relationship with him. Knowing about God. Let me just share some examples with you. First of all, one thing we know about God from John chapter 4, that he is spirit. God himself does not have, in his essence, does not have a physical body. He is spirit. Now we know Christ came and took upon himself flesh, but God in his very essence is spirit. Now if God is spirit, if you know that about God, then what does that mean when it comes to developing a personal relationship with him? Doesn't that mean that that relationship is going to have to be on a spiritual level? He is spirit. So my relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, is going to have to be on that spiritual level. Well, knowing about God in that sense helps us to have a personal relationship with him because, first of all, we recognize I am born spiritually dead. A spiritually dead person cannot have a relationship with one who is a spirit. So to have a personal relationship with him, first and foremost, I have to be made spiritually alive. And that's what faith in Christ does for us. We trust Christ as our Savior, and we are made spiritually alive. And so as ones who are now spiritually alive, we can have a personal relationship with the one who is a spirit. So knowing about God helps us in developing a personal relationship with him. When we think about God and his attributes, you know, we always think of the omnis, don't we? His omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. there's some good truths to know. His omnipotence. He is all-powerful. He can do all things. In fact, his omnipotence really is a matter of simply God willing what he wants done, and it's done. And when you think of power, you usually think of someone who is, he's strong, and when he exerts his energy, he shows his power. But, as people, when we exert a lot of energy and we show our power in that sense, we get tired. Well, God doesn't get tired. His power is not that strength that we would think of in the sense of exerting energy. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. Well, don't get the idea that on the seventh day, he sat back in his easy chair and took it easy because he was all tired out. There was a lot of work going doing all that creating. No, it simply means that he ceased from his creation. But God's omnipotence is simply God exercising his will, and whatever he wills, it's done. That's his omnipotence. Now, I need to know that about God when it comes to having a personal relationship with him. Because I need to understand that with my God, nothing is impossible. He can do all things. He can do everything he wills to do. I ought to know that about God when I want to have a personal relationship with him. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. I ought to know that if I want to have a personal relationship with him. I ought to know that he is everywhere at the same time. And it's not just that he's everywhere at the same time, but as you read Scripture, his omnipresence is about God being with me at all times. And when it says he's with me, it means not simply his presence is there, but he sees me. Back in Genesis, we read about the name of God, El Roy, the God who sees. The God who sees me in my affliction. The God who sees me in my struggles. And his omnipresence is about God seeing me at all times, even when I'm struggling. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's not just that his presence is there, but he is there in his full being. He's there in his omnipotence. He can do all things as he's there seeing me. To have a personal relationship with him, I ought to know that about God. That helps me to have that personal relationship. He's omniscient. No one's ever taught God anything. He never had to learn anything. He's always known everything. He's always known everything about me. He knows my strengths and my weaknesses. He knows my needs. He knows everything about me. And Scripture also teaches that he knows not just all things actual, but all things possible. To have a personal relationship with God, I ought to know that. Because then when something difficult comes into my life, I need to step back and say, you know what? God knows everything actual. He knows exactly what's actually happening right now, but he knows all things possible. He knew other possibilities of what could have happened. And in his omnipotence, he chose this to happen. Because this is what's best for me. Out of all the other possibilities of what could have happened, he knew those, but he chose this. Because it's what's best. There isn't any other possibility that would have been better. He chose this in his omniscience. I ought to know that so that I can have a personal relationship with him. He's immutable. He'll never change. He's unchanging and unchangeable. Well, that's not true of us, is it? I think often of the passage there in 2 Peter that tells us that we as husbands are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Now, that's a lifelong responsibility. It's a lifelong learning, because just about the time you get them figured out, they change on you. And by the way, men, we change too. And that's a good thing, really. When you think about it, growth is change, isn't it? You know, if we're really growing in the Lord and growing in our knowledge of Him, and we're growing in our relationship with Him, it's going to change us. So change is a good thing. But God doesn't have to grow. Now, if you got one who is perfect, absolute perfection, and they change, they're no longer perfect. Well, God is absolute perfection. He can't change, or else He would be imperfect. I ought to know that about God. Knowing that He'll never change, He'll be the same today, He'll be same tomorrow, He was the same yesterday. I ought to know that so that when I have a personal relationship with Him, I know that He will never change. He'll always be the same. And when maybe I'm feeling a little different about my relationship with Him, I need to know that it's not because He's changed, it's because something's wrong here. I need to know that, to have a personal relationship with God. You see, what I'm saying is, we need to study God's Word so that we can know about God. We don't want to stop there. When we know about God, we need to have a personal relationship with that God who has revealed Himself in His Word. We read in 1 John that God is love. I need to know that about God. To have a personal relationship with Him, I need to know that God is love. I need to know that because I need to understand that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what comes into my life, no matter what God allows into my life, He's allowed it out of His love, because God can't do anything in my life that's not out of love. Because that's who He is. God is love. I need to know that. And these other attributes, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience, His immutability, He doesn't change. You know, a God who's all-powerful, a God who's everywhere at the same time and He sees everything, and a God who knows everything, and a God who's never going to change, if that God doesn't love me, I don't want to have a personal relationship with Him. If that God doesn't love me, that's a God to run from. That's a God to hide from. But omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, unchanging God who loves me, I want to have a personal relationship with that God. That's the God I want to worship. We read in Exodus chapter 3, when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, He called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses was hesitant, and one of the objections he raised was, well, when I go and tell Israel, the Jewish people, that I'm going to lead them out of Egypt, and they're going to say, well, who told you to do that? And I tell them that it was God who told me, and they're going to want to know your name. What's your name, God? And God says, Yahweh, I am who I am. You ever wondered what Moses thought about that? Yahweh, I am who I am. Yeah. At first glance, that doesn't seem like much of a name, does it? I mean, do you think Moses was expecting something like Supreme Ruler of the Universe? I am who I am? What's that mean? I am what I am? I am all that I am? I am everything that I am. And then he says, I will be your God. I am all that I am to you. Everything I am for you. That's a powerful name. Everything I am for you, Don. I'm your personal God. And everything I am to you. Everything I am for you. I am omnipotent, and I am omnipotent for you. I am omniscient, and I am omniscient for you. Everything I am for you. We won't turn to it. I realize we really haven't spent much time in 2 Peter here. I don't have a clock, remember? In Isaiah chapter 41, God says to the children of Israel, "Fear not. I will help you." Simple words. Fear not, I will help you. You know, if you were in the hospital and you were facing surgery and you were kind of worried about that surgery, you were anxious about it, you just weren't quite sure how this was going to go and you were kind of fearful about it, and somebody walked up to you and said, "Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. This surgery will be fine. You'll come out all right. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. Everything will be fine." And then that person walked away and you found out that the person that just told you that was the janitor. Now, nothing wrong with being a janitor, but what does the janitor know about this surgery? You know, the words from that janitor probably wouldn't be a real huge comfort to you. But if the doctor that's going to do the surgery walks in and says, "Don't worry about it. I've done thousands of these surgeries. It's not a big deal. It'll be fine." That means something. This guy knows. And if I come up to you and I say, "Fear not, I'll help you," that might be of some comfort. But if the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable God who loves you comes up to you and says, "Fear not, I'll help you," means the world to you, means everything to you. The God who is everything He is for you says, "Fear not, I'll help you." That's what builds a personal relationship with that God. Again, here in 2 Peter, talks about grace and peace through the knowledge of God. When we know about God and all that He is, it can give grace and peace as we develop a personal relationship with Him. As it talks about power for life and godliness through the knowledge of God, as we know this omnipotent God who will be omnipotent for you, does that help us to have power for life? As we said earlier, life can get difficult. Life can get chaotic. But the more we know God, the less chaotic and the less difficult it becomes. I conclude from Proverbs 9:10. Again, you don't need to turn to it. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Have you ever felt that life gets rather confusing at times? Not quite sure what to do, not quite sure where to turn, not quite sure how this is going to go, and life can get very confusing. And I'm not suggesting that we'll ever reach a point where it'll never be confusing whatsoever. Life can be confusing. What I am saying is the more we know God, the less confusing it becomes. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And we'll have greater understanding about life the more we know God. And part of knowing God is knowing about Him, studying His revelation to us so that we know how He thinks, how He acts, so that we know His attributes, so that we know His strengths, so that we know what He likes and doesn't like. We know about God so that we can develop a personal relationship with God. And as we read in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in Him. We can trust the God of the Bible. We cannot trust the God of our own making, the God of our mind, the God of our imagination. That God will fail us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your revelation. You have indeed revealed to us who You are. And we rejoice that who You are to us as individuals when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would grow in our knowledge of You, so that we'd have grace and peace and power and understanding. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Help us, Father, as we leave this evening to continue to meditate upon Your word and its truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to surrender ourselves before You, knowing that, yes, life can get difficult, and knowing that it can get chaotic, and knowing that it can get confusing. And yet, as we continue to humble ourselves before You and grow in our knowledge of You, You'll give us that grace and that peace, that power and that understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.